Well, good morning. How are you guys this morning? Pretty good. You guys need to know by now that I like a response. So I'm going to wait till I get a response. Active participation. Wonderful. So how are you guys doing this morning? You don't have to lie, though, okay? So, although I'm sure if you're not doing great, you're probably not the first one to be yelling out, I'm doing terrible! But if you are, I'm sorry. And we just join with you in prayer to acknowledge that sometimes we are not wonderful. And that's okay. And this is family, and that's one of the beautiful parts about coming to church. At least I hope it is for you, is that this would be a family. And that you'd feel welcome here, no matter what you're feeling, whether you are wonderful or whether you are having the worst day of your life, that you would find Jesus' presence here and that you'd be welcome. Well, I have a question for you, since it is Christmas. My question for you is this: how many of you like Christmas movies? Yeah, a few of you. What are your favorite Christmas movies? It's a Wonderful Bright. What's a Wonderful Life? There we go. White Christmas, Christmas Carol. I think Charlie Brown over here. Did I hear Charlie Brown? There we go. Charlie Brown Christmas. Excellent. Christmas Chronicles. What? Home Alone. Yes. There are some pretty good Christmas movies out there. I was waiting for one that I didn't hear, but it'll be on this list. I did find a list of Christmas carols. In fact, there's a library out there. That they decided to take 32 Christmas movies and pit themselves against each other, kind of like you do with March Madness for basketball. Now, I ought to be honest, I have no clue how they decided which movies would go up against each other. I have no idea who decided which movie would win. But do you see your favorite Christmas movie up there? There's a whole bunch. Surely there's one that most of you have watched. Die Hard is up there. Die Hard is a Christmas movie, right, Ryan? Yeah. Now, there's a ton up there. Winner take all. And I'm really, like I said, I am not sure who decided what wins. I mean, there's some pretty tough ones up there. White Christmas. Elf. The Grinch. Scrooged. Deck the Halls, A Muppet Christmas, like all the good ones are up there. Like if you're in a mood for Christmas movies, like here's your list. You can just kind of go binge watch over Christmas now. But I can tell you what my favorite Christmas movie is, and it was shouted out. My favorite Christmas movie on that list by far is A Charlie Brown Christmas. I have watched that every single Christmas for as long as I can remember. I have worn out multiple VHS versions of it and multiple DVD copies and Blu-ray copies of it over the years. But I love it. I don't love all the Christmas movies up there. There's some that I could do without. But Charlie Brown is one that forever will be watched in our house. And in fact, at the beginning of Advent, Amanda asked me, she said, how are you going to work Charlie Brown Christmas into your sermons this year? Okay, so I am doing it this morning. But one of the reasons I like the Charlie Brown Christmas movie is simply this, is that there is an unapologetic use of Scripture in it. And I think that out of all of the Christmas movies, for me, it is the one that actually conveys the truth of what Christmas is all about in a heartfelt way. And so that's the reason I love A Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, maybe some of you have never seen it. But really, if you've ever seen it, you will remember the premise to it, right? Charlie Brown is going around, and he's really kind of flustered, and he's frustrated with the commercialism that he sees all around him. There's no real sense of what Christmas is all about. And so, at one point, he just gets so flustered and frustrated that he just, like, almost gives up, doesn't he? And all of a sudden, we find out that there is someone who knows the true meaning of Christmas. And so I want you to actually watch. We're going to watch this clip because I find it, I love it. It's just so great. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Would you join with me in prayer this morning? Father, we thank you that we are able to come together and that we are able to celebrate the Christmas season. And we take this time to remember that you loved us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to earth. I invite you now, Holy Spirit, to come and be welcome in this place. As we reflect on your word and on the love of the Father, I ask that you would come and speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, to our souls, and to our spirits. And this morning, may we glorify you, Jesus. Amen. That is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. I love it. Such a simple statement. Such a simple truth. That in the midst of everything that we're experiencing, that right there encompasses why we celebrate. For the past few weeks, we've found ourselves in this season of Advent. And Advent really means that we're waiting, we're looking forward to something. We're looking forward as believers to the return of Jesus Christ. We're anticipating him coming. And as we do that, we've been looking back at the scripture and we've been looking through these accounts of the angels. And as the angels have appeared throughout the scripture, they bring a message of they foretell of Jesus coming. And so it's been incredible to walk through that to see just the different ways that the messages of the angels actually bring the truths of scripture. And we've been able to look at what it means to have hope, what it means to have peace, and what it means to have joy. And this morning, we are looking at this idea of what does it mean to know love? How is it that this message that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, what does that have to do with us some 2,000 years later, and what does it have to do with knowing God's love? Well, the scene was so so beautifully set. We've seen it this morning. We saw the dramatic piece to it. We've seen Linus quoted out of scripture. And this morning, we're going to read it ourselves. And so I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at this encounter that the angels had with the shepherds and the message that they brought. So I invite you to turn with me there now. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 8. And it is up on the screen for you if you don't have your Bible. But it reads this. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. I have read this passage so many times. I have heard it quoted so many times. And maybe you have too. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today. And you will find him lying in a manger. Isn't that incredible? Have you ever stopped to consider what you were reading? Have you ever stopped to hear what is being declared to you, to think about it? Well, you get to do that now. Every day, I get to tell my wife, Amanda, that I love her. It's something I just do. Without fail, I look at her and I will tell her, every time she leaves, every time I leave the house before bed, it's always something that we do. I love you. I love you too. And no matter how many times I say that, there has never been a moment where I've ever had to doubt that, where I've ever questioned, do I love her? But it doesn't mean that I don't stop from time to time to pause, to consider, why am I saying that? Why? What is it about Amanda that causes me to just say, I love you? What is it about my kids that I can look at them even when they are fighting and they are arguing and it's a pain to get them in the car to get them to church? Because they are fighting. And yet I can look at them in the midst of that and say, I love you. I love you. This morning, I want you to take some time to reflect on this passage. Because the word that the angels had for the shepherds really was the equivalent to God looking at us and saying, I love you. I love you. I want you to take a moment to consider that. I bring you good news that will bring great joy. This is the message of the angels. God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent a Savior to you. That he sent a Messiah to you. God loves you so much that he sent a baby for you. But it's not just that. It's not just that. If you continue to read in the passage, it says, you will recognize him. I was struck by that as I was reading this passage over and over and over again this week as I was preparing for this message. You will recognize him. Have you ever thought about that? The Son of God, the Savior of the world, this baby that was born, you will find him and you will recognize him. This is what the angel is telling the shepherds. I want you to just take a moment to appreciate that, just that piece alone. Here are these shepherds out in the middle of the countryside tending sheep, and an angel appears to them and says, you will recognize the Savior when you see him. Well, as you're reading through this account, does that ever not, like, to me that just strikes me as incredibly crazy to think that these shepherds would be able to identify the Savior of the world. Sure, he's going to be found lying in a manger, but have you ever thought about the fact that they had to go to Bethlehem? They had to find the manger? Now, even if Bethlehem was a tiny village, even if there was only 600 people in the town of Bethlehem at the time that Jesus was born, can you picture what it would have been like for the shepherds to be looking for this baby Jesus? They wouldn't have known where to go. How many mangers would have been there? Likely a few. Just picture it. The angels are walking around, and just put yourself in the shoes of the angels for a moment. Shepherds, that's right, not the angels. Thank you. And you're going door to door in Bethlehem, knocking on the door. They open up the door and they look at you. Can I help you? Well, yeah, actually, this angel appeared to us and told us that the Savior of the world was born and we'd find him in a manger. Just wondering if he's in your manger. Can you just like, what would that be like? Maybe they were sneaking around like through the back alleys trying not to be seen because like that would just be awkward. But whether they were going door to door or whether they were sneaking around looking for it, they had to take time, and it would have been incredibly awkward to be caught looking through people's backyards, looking in their stables, looking in their mangers to find this baby. And yet the angel tells them, you will recognize them when you find him. You will recognize God when you see him. You will recognize this perfect act of love when you see it. If an angel appeared to you this morning and said, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy, do you think you would recognize it? Do you think you would recognize how God has shown up in your life? Just a little side note, if an angel ever does appear to you, there's really two angels that appear most of the time in Scripture. There's Gabriel, and then there's Michael. Now, Michael typically only appears when you're about to go to war. All right? So if the angel Michael appears to you, just get ready. All right? Typically, if it's good news, it's the angel Gabriel. All right? So if Gabriel appears to you and says, don't worry, you don't have to worry. It's going to be good news. But if the angels appeared to you today, right now, if God showed up and says, don't be afraid, I have great news for you. I am about to pour out my love on your life. Would you recognize it? Would you be able to recognize God's love? Are you able to recognize God's love? 1 John 4 reads, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. I love this passage because it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you except that you get to receive God's love. There's nothing you have to do. You don't have to go out looking for God's love. The shepherds were not out there seeking and searching for God to show up. When the angels appeared to them, this was an act of grace and it was an act of love. God said, I am coming to you. I am pouring out my love to you. As we were driving to church this morning, I alluded to it, but we had a terrible time getting into our car on the way to church this morning. Now, I don't know if that has to do with the fact that my kids are just sick and they're just not feeling well. And so Amanda had to stay home. And there's just that those kind of things that happen in your home. But we finally got them into the car, or I finally got them into the car without, they weren't fighting. We told them, you're not allowed to talk the entire way to church. They were fighting over who gets to sit in the middle row of the car. And so they all got to sit in the back. And they weren't allowed to talk, and they were stuck, squished in side by side to each other. But as we were driving to church on the radio, we listened to this song, and it was called Reckless Love. And I don't fully get the whole theology of it, but this idea of reckless love is that God so loves us. And it says there's no mountain that he won't climb. There's no door he won't break down. Like, just the imagery that it uses, that God is pursuing us. God is pursuing you. Whether you're looking for him or not, he is sending his Son. He is demonstrating his love for you in the greatest act that he could ever do. He was willing to lay down everything to declare his love for you. To declare his love for you in the midst of the brokenness, in the midst of all that was wrong in your life, all that is wrong in the world. He is saying, that doesn't matter. I am pursuing you. There's nothing that you can do to reach me, to know me. You can try all the sacrifices. You can continue to offer sacrifices. You can continue to offer purification for your sins, but it doesn't last. But I'm not done with you. I love you. And so I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send Jesus because he is the only one who will be able to take the penalty for our sins, for your sins. And I'm going to send him as a baby so that you can actually relate to him. Could you picture if he sent a king? Could you relate to a king? Could you relate to the queen? No. I am going to send him as a baby. I am going to send the greatest act of love as a baby. And you will recognize him. You will know my love when you see it. I love it. I do. I love it. Do you recognize God's love for you? Do you know that he is pursuing you? That he is declaring his love? I love the last part of this passage. Starting in verse 17, it says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone. There's a lot of love this morning. I realize I'm saying it. I love it. I love it. I love it a lot. But really, I can't help it. And you can see why in this. So after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Isn't that fabulous? Do you pick up on these things? It was just as the angel had told them. Hey, I've sent my son, Jesus. I mean, the angel's not God, but he's proclaiming the message for God, okay? God has sent his son, Jesus. Someone who will save you. You will recognize him. The angels go and the shepherds go and they find it, and it is true. There is this baby lying in a manger. All of it was true. How did they know? How did they know that he was the Savior, that he was the Messiah? I have no clue. Other than to trust that when God says, you will recognize my love for you, that when we encounter it, we do. This encounter was so amazing, they had to tell everyone about it. They were so overwhelmed by God's grace and God's love that they got to see the Messiah that they had to tell everyone about it. And they told everybody. So they may have gone and they may have had to knock on the doors of those people and say, is the Messiah in your manger? But after they found them, they were going around, they were knocking on doors and saying, we found him. He was there. What the angels told us was true. And it says the people were astonished. How great is that? What would it look like if you went around and told people, I found what God's love and what he said about me, and it was true, and I just can't help tell others about it? It actually kind of reminds me of a wedding proposal. And what do you do after a wedding proposal? You celebrate. Well, I get to tell you, and because you have to listen to me, you get to hear a little piece of my wedding proposal. But Amanda and I had been dating for about three years. We had been dating about 3 months, six of which she was either in Uganda or on a road trip down through the United States. 6 weeks, sorry, of that time. So half of the 3 months that we were dating, she was away. But we were dating for about 3 months, and we were actually both living in BC. We'd just finished Bible college, and she had come back from her road trip, and we went for a hike. And this was something Amanda and I loved to do. It still is. And so we went to this place called Cliff Falls, which is some waterfalls. And as we were walking, we made our way to this bridge. Now, on this bridge, there was a ton of carvings where people had carved and professed their love for one another. And so Amanda started taking some pictures. And so she was taking pictures of all the really cool carvings and the things that people had done. And while she was doing that, I got out my car keys and I carved, "Chris loves Amanda." And you can see that on the top. And so I invited her to come and to look at it. So I told her, stop taking your pictures of everyone else and come look at this one. And so she did, and she came, and she took some better pictures than that one. That was the only one I could find quickly. And as she was taking pictures of the love that I had professed for her, I got down on a knee, and I pulled out a ring, and I asked her if she would marry me. When she finally said yes, it was a few minutes later. I will tell you, it was the most like that two, it was probably only like 10 seconds, but it felt like an eternity. But after she said yes, the first thing we did was we phoned our family and friends. And so there's the bottom picture of Amanda phoning her mom. The very first person that she wanted to tell about that I just got engaged. Chris just professed his love to me, and I can't wait to tell you about it. God has just professed his love to the entire world. And the angels wanted nothing, or the angels, I'm getting this all mixed up. The shepherds wanted nothing more than to tell everyone what they had seen and what they had heard. There's a quote by a pastor and an author. His name's Banning Leibacher. And he says this: when you encounter his, meaning God's, all-consuming love for you, the natural response is to be completely in love for him, with him. His love inches ours to the point where we don't have to strive or struggle to live a life of passion. It just comes naturally. When you encounter God's all-consuming love, when you recognize God's love for you, it is almost impossible not to fall so completely in love with him. And I love it because it doesn't say it happens instantly, does it? Well, I think it does to a certain extent when you truly get just how much God loves you. There is something within us that just so dramatically shifts. That we love him. We want to tell everyone about it. But I love how it says, his love inches ours. Maybe you're at a point where you have just recognized God's love for you. But you don't feel like you're at the place where you're like the shepherds, or you're running around and you are telling everyone. Maybe you're just inching towards it. But there's something within us that stirs when we recognize God's love, isn't there? Whether it's an inch, or whether it's you're running and leaping and praising God for how much he loves you. Do you recognize God's love for you? The shepherds couldn't help but tell everyone that they encountered. One of the things I love about the Charlie Brown Christmas, as I said, was the unapologetic portion of scripture that they used. But I read about an account that Charles Schulz, the author, the illustrator of Charlie Brown, that he had with the show's producer and the show's animator. And basically, they were concerned about the use of that passage in the Christmas special. They didn't want Charles Schulz to put that piece into the movie. They said, you are going to alienate people. People are not going to want to watch your movie. We can't do it. They said, it's dangerous for us to start talking about religion. Charles Schulz's answer to response to them was this: if we don't, who will? If we don't tell them who loves them, who will? And so they kept the passage. I mean, they kept that portion of the movie. And that show has gone on to be the second most watched show of the week that it aired. And it is still being shown some 45 years later, almost 45 years later. And people are still watching it. And the gospel truth about how much God loves us is still being proclaimed. As Christmas is approaching, and it is approaching really quickly, and I'm getting excited, we are reminded that the reason that we get to celebrate, while it is about family, and you know, it's a great to celebrate the gifts and giving to one another, the reason we are able to celebrate is because God loves us. He loved us so much that he would send his son to die for us. Do you know that? As you sit here this morning, if the only thing you ever hear over Christmas is this, God loves you. He sent his son to prove just how much he loves you, so that you could know him and you could know his love. And I want you just to take a moment to just sit in that, to just reflect on that thought. God loves you. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if your life is in the pits, if everything around you is broken and crumbling. It doesn't matter if you have everything going for you this morning. God is willing to meet you where you are and to declare that he loves you. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Do you recognize it? And if you do, would you be so compelled and so overwhelmed by that love that you would stop at nothing to tell everyone that you know? Would you join with me in prayer? Father God, we come before you, and that really is a simple Christmas message. There is, while it is so vast and so complex, the reality is that you love us. And the reason we get to celebrate is because you love us and you sent your son, Jesus. And not just because he comes as a baby, but because he is willing to pay the price for us on the cross. That he is willing to take all of our sin, all of our brokenness upon himself. And in doing so, as we acknowledge him as our Lord and as our Savior, we are able to come to you. And Lord, I know that even if we are not touchy-feely people, we all need love. We all need to know that we are loved. And so this morning, my heart's prayer is that we would have an encounter with your love this morning. That we would recognize how you are manifesting and how you are making your love known in the midst of our lives today. Whether things are running smoothly, whether things are rocky and tumultuous, God, you are with us and you are proclaiming your love to us. You love us, you love us, you love us. Lord, would we just recognize that in you? And I thank you that you love us. And I give you praise and glory. Amen.